Flyers Daily with Jason Mertidis.
All right, here we go. Brand new Flyers Daily for the sixth day of the month of September. Countdown continues. Season around the corner. Players coming into town, starting those captain skates. Training camp just a couple of weeks away. So not far off as we await maybe the signing of Morgan Frost. Only one outstanding piece of business left out there for Danny Briere and the Flyers to get done. We'll see where that goes over the next couple of days and certainly before training camp begins. But it is time for part two of Bill Meltzer and I's underrated all-time Flyers team. We did the centers, we did the wingers, now we do the D, goaltenders, and head coaches. So without further ado, let's get to part two of Bill Meltzer and I's Flyers all-time underrated team. All right, Bill, now it's time to get to our Flyers top underrated D. Right D, left D, goaltending, and a head coach. Let's start on the right side. You know, you need the strong right-handed D. Who's your Flyers all-time underrated right D?
This one was actually pretty easy for me. Bob Daly. Yeah, Daly, it's a shame that his career ended so young. Daly had a career-ending leg injury or an ankle injury, shattered it at 28 years old. Still in his prime, had a couple 20-plus goal seasons, 6'5", 220 pounds in an era where there weren't many guys that size. So he was physically intimidating. Probably the first Flyers defenseman other than maybe Tom Blaine who could truly overpower you from the point. Won a couple Barry Ashby trophies, played in some NHL All-Star games, and then all of a sudden, it's over. It's done. So people kind of forget how good Daly was and what a big acquisition he was. The Flyers got him from Vancouver in hindsight for a song. With all due respect to Kevin McCarthy, was a good young defenseman at the time, and I think he had an all-star year in Vancouver. But to me, it's got to be the Cal on the right side.
He had 40 points in 56 playoff games in 5 years as a Flyer. That on the blue line. For a big guy to put up that many points, it's pretty impressive. A ninth overall pick to Vancouver in the 73 pick. You know, I really debated with myself with where I was going to go with this selection on the right side. I was just kept going back and forth with myself, but ultimately I ended up going with a guy who is pearled. He's in the Flyers Hall of Fame, and he was a big part of a huge trade. And I still think he's underrated. I went with Eric Desjardins. Because I don't know if people really put the respect on him that he deserves in mass quantity. Bill, his Flyers career was spectacular. Comes in that deal. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And, you know, while he's defenseman, he still had 396 points in 738 games here. But he played 11 seasons as a Flyer. On that top pair, getting the worst assignments, the most difficult assignments in the entire NHL, wasn't the biggest guy in the world. You know, he's a guy that 6 foot, 200 pounder, but played really strong. And to me, he's a guy that, even though he's in the Flyers Hall of Fame, to me, he's a hockey player's hockey player because he did so many little things in games that didn't, you know, end up on a score sheet or end up on a highlight reel, but I thought were paramount. He was the anchor of that defense for a long, long time.
Well, for sure. And you know, I think that when you look at the Flyers defenseman all time, and that's why I didn't have him as underrated. You know, he won quite a few Barry Ashby trophies, played in several All-Star games, played in the World Cup of Hockey, got key minutes for Team Canada on there. I think on a league-wide basis, he was underrated.
I think hockey circles he's not.
Really? Okay. I see it with the other way where you know you hear about the Al MacInnesses and those guys, and yeah. Mirko might have been the next half step down, but that was a guy who was a perennial candidate to play in the All-Star game, a perennial candidate to play for Team Canada. So that's why I didn't consider him underrated. If we're doing our all-time Flyers team, he would certainly be near the top of the blue line for me. And you know, I think too that whoever he was with, whether, and most early on he played with Kevin Holler and they were really good. And mm-hmm. then he mostly played with Chris Terry and then they were a pairing for what, 6-7 years. And, you know, whoever he was paired with, he pushed that pairing to another level. And the other thing too, that I think is a bit underrated, and I still do not know how he did this for the life of me, Jason. He had a year where he played with an 80-85% ACL tear, and he yeah. played through it. And you know, he wasn't as effective. It clearly was showing. I don't know how a guy sucks up and plays through it. I mean, he always was in great condition, but an ACL tear is a major, major injury. And after he finally got it surgically repaired after that season, I mean, the second half of his Flyers career, the first half, Desjardins could fly. In the second half of his career, he lost a step, but he was such a smart player that once yeah. he adapted to it, and particularly under Ken Hitchcock, he never noticed it because he was so smart and so good at moving the puck and so good defending. And you know, maybe not the best power play defenseman in the league, but in that, again, in the next grouping down, Desjardins could do everything. And such a solid pro. You know, I think that when you look at the NHL players of the 90s, the early 2000s, I don't think you hear his name enough among the best in the league. To me, he played in several All-Star games and could have played in a few more beyond that. So, you know, I see just a little different that in terms of where he was league-wide. But I think we both agree that he was underrated to a degree.
Yeah, and he's just such a good player and the anchor of that team. I thought he was just so important. Let's go to the lefty position. This is another struggle for me. Who did you end up going with on the left side on the D?
It's strange. It's one of those things in hindsight that, you know, why was he underrated for a long period of time? Jimmy Watson played 5 NHL All-Star games, won 2 Stanley Cups, played for Team Canada in the 76 Canada Cup, which won the championship, played in the 79 game against the Russians, was a big part of that, the leadership group of that team, 35 game unbeaten streak team in 79-80. Was it because when he was 29, his career was over and he still had years to go? I don't know. But of that group of 70s to early 80s Flyers, Jimmy Watson was probably the last one to get in the Flyers Hall of Fame in 2018. I mean, finally that was corrected. To me, he should have been in a lot sooner. And while Joe, his brother, was a heck of a player in his own right, 2 Cups, 2 All-Star games, etc., Joe would tell you that Jimmy was the better player of the two of them. So yeah. I went with Jimmy Watson among other candidates. I think could easily have Brad McCrimmon there. I mean, because he was a heck of a player just beyond being Mark Howe's partner. He was really good in his own right. As a matter of fact, say whatever you want to say about plus-minus ratings. Among all players who are not in the big Hockey Hall of Fame, he's the NHL's all-time plus-minus leader among non-Hall of Fame players. Among the all-time Flyers, leaders in that category, he was a big impact player for Calgary when they won the Cup.
Yeah,
and
89.
So there was more to him than just being Mark Howe's partner. He was a fantastic hockey player for a long time.
Yeah, and he complimented Howe beautifully. I went at the left D position. I went with the guy who, the only people that kind of bring his name up anymore are the ones that, you know, had the VHS or Betamax tapes of great fights back in the day. And I went with Ben Wilson. Now, Ben Wilson was as tough as they come. He wasn't a guy that was, because you had like the Dave Browns, obviously Dave Schultz prior, and you had, you know, those guys that was their only job, was to be an intimidating force. And Ben Wilson played at a time, Bill, when there was a lot of tough guys in the league. I mean, he played for the Flyers from 78 all the way up until the 80 through 83. In 339 games as a Flyer, he had 214 points on the blue line as well. I mean, he was as tough as they come. And he was a pretty damn good player, too. So I actually went Ben Wilson on the back end because I think he's a guy that got overshadowed in hindsight.
For sure. And you know, yeah, the first thing you think of with Ben Wilson is you think the fights. And he could just absolutely obliterate guys on the boards. I mean, he spared no quarter when it came to finishing checks. He was big and mean and had a couple all-star seasons for the Flyers, had a great rookie year. What people forget is Ben Wilson was also a heck of an offensive defense, and he loved to rush the puck. And actually, one of my favorite stories, Terry Crisp likes to tell it. Crispy, after he retired, was a Flyers assistant coach for a year before he moved on to other coaching opportunities. And so as an assistant coach, he had Ben Wilson. And Wilson, in a preseason game, I think it was, he skated right past a line change and went in and he scored. And he went almost 200 feet as the, you know, as both teams were changing. And of course, it's such a no-no to skate through a line change and, you know, take a risk like that. But he scored and he gets back to the bench. And it was almost like the line from Major League where Crispy says to him, hell of a play, Willie. Don't ever do that again.
Yep.
that was Ben Wilson. I mean, there was no risk he wouldn't take, whether it was getting himself out of position, you know, playing up ice. He was a very confident young player to the point that sometimes it grated on coaches. But I'll tell you, he was a bull to play against, and really was a force for a number of years. Very truly intimidating, and really a very good hockey player on top of that. So that's actually a very good choice, and he was traded. It was actually a good trade for the Flyers ultimately because they got Doug Crossman out of that trade too. Mm-hmm. And Cross in his best years was kind of underrated playing with Marshy. They were in the second pairing, Marsh and Crossman playing behind Howe and McCrimmon. But kind of continued different kind of a player. But Mike Keenan, it's funny because he really clashed with Crossman, as you know.
Yeah.
They did not get along. But if you talk to Keenan now, he'll tell you that Doug Crossman was a really underrated player. And he actually put him on Team Canada. He actually put him on an all-star team, too. So that says something.
Tim Wilson, in his 22-year-old season for the Flyers, his third year in the NHL, played 77 games. He had 63 points, 16 goals, 47 assists that year. Huge numbers for a blue liner. All right, let's get to the goalie position. This is, again, another one, Bill, that was just so hard to come up with. But who did you end up settling on goal?
In goal? Yeah, I went back and forth several times with it. You'll probably have one of the guys that I didn't decide on, maybe the same guy. The more I thought about it, I thought, you know what? I got to go with Pete Peters. Peters was the rookie in the prime. You know, he split time with Phil Mir, but really he became more the number one goalie. The Flyers' unbeaten streak here, the 35-game streak, helped backstop them to the Stanley Cup Finals, played in the NHL All-Star Game as a rookie, played in the NHL All-Star Game his second year. Then his first year after he was traded to Boston in the McCrimmon trade, he won the Vezina.
Yep.
But, you know, when you talk about who the great Flyers goalies were, Peters had that great start to his career and was a darn good NHL goalie for a long time. So I came up, you know, the more I thought about, okay, well, there is the streak. He came close to a Stanley Cup. So I went with Peters. The other two that I really considered were Bob Froese and Wayne Stevenson. And then the next level down, I had Steve Mason. So I'd be interested to see what you ended up with.
When you look at those years that Pete Peters was the Flyers goaltender, he had an 888 save percentage. And you look at that and you go, man, that's pedestrian. At that time, that was, you know, top of the NHL. That's where the top guys were in the league. And Pete Peters put up really good numbers. And obviously, like you mentioned, part of that 35-game unbeaten streak. When you look at Flyers goaltenders all time in wins. He's eighth all time. He had 85 wins as a Flyers goaltender. But I have a guy who you mentioned ahead of him in Bob Froese, who won 92 games as a Philadelphia Flyer, played 144 games over his time in Philadelphia. And Froese gets lost in the mix, Bill, to me, because, you know, it's Pelly and you lost Pelly, and it's then Hextall. And you had the flash and sheer quickness and dynamic play of Pelly, and then the controversial and competitor that Hextall was, that Froese gets lost in the middle there sometimes, or Froese rather. And look at his career numbers as a Flyer, and you look at, you know, the years that he played here, and he put up really good numbers. He, all said and done, at that time, he ended up, you know, doing really well for this team. He played here for 6 years, played in 304 games as a goaltender for the Flyers. And when you look at the era that he was here, and this is how I really compare it, when you look at that period of time, he was here between 82 and 86. And if you look at save percentage in the NHL over those that chunk of time, he had the highest save percentage in the league at 899. As I mentioned, 888 was top of the league before. 899. Number two was Kelly Rudy, hit 897. Billy Smith and those great Islander teams was at 891. Andy Moog in Edmonton. But you look at that period of time, and this is goaltenders that played over 85 games through that period. And I look at save percentage as a really important stat. 2.75 goals against average, also very good. But to me, he's a forgotten guy because of who he was sandwiched in between in his tenure here in Philadelphia.
I think that's the number one reason. You know, I think, and also listen, I mean, Frosty was in a finalist. He lost to Van Beesbrook, but he did win to Jennings. Under brutal circumstances, because Pelly died, and now he's the number one goalie. And he'd almost been traded to L.A. Actually, that trade was going to go down the same, maybe 48 hours after the accident. He was going to be traded to L.A. for Jay Wells, who actually ended up being the Flyers a little bit later on.
A great American, you know, tough guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Froese got knocked, I think, a little unfairly, including by Keenan. Mm-hmm. Keenan was not a fan. When the Flyers lost that playoff series to the Rangers in 86, the spring after Pelly died, first of all, I think the team was just mentally cooked. You know, they had a great regular season, but they'd been through so much that year. They'd been like they'd almost been through 2 years in one. And, you know, it was such an emotional roller coaster that year after losing Pelly. And nobody was ever totally the same again after that. It's human beings. Frosty got outplayed by Van Beesbrook in that series, and the goaltending was the number one thing that decided that series. The Flyers did have a cup caliber team. I have a hard time putting it all on the goalie, though. Froese got them there in the first place, and there were a couple games in there that were winnable that Van Beesbrook stole. I mean, just credit to Van Beesbrook. So I think Frosty really took a little bit of a beating from the coach and a little bit from the media. I think a little bit unfairly. And the other part too, that I don't think was always right, was when he was a candidate for the Vezina and Keenan was asked about Froese's candidacy. Well, he said, well, he has the numbers. He didn't say he's been the best goalie in the league this year. He said he has the numbers. And Keenan also pointed out that before Pelly died, that, Bob did his job, but he's the guy we play against Hartford, or he's the guy that we would, play against Minnesota when they weren't very good, or Red Wings when they're bottom of the league. And we were resting Pelly to play Montreal or Boston or something like that. A goalie can only stop the pucks, can only stop the pucks that are in front of him. He can only play the teams that he's playing. And the truth of the matter is, Froese had a lot of success. You say some of the same things about Wayne Stevens, too. It was a hell of a backup, Bernie Perron. Again, a year that Perron was injured, he was that's in a runner up to Kenny Dryden, the Hall of Famer, which,
yep,
you know, and the Flyers got swept in the finals by Montreal that year. But Wayman Stevenson would have started for a lot of teams in the NHL, probably more than half the teams in the league at the time. He just happened to have the misfortune or fortune, because he did win a cup, of playing behind Bernie. And it's a little bit like Froese being in between Pelle Lindbergh and Ron Hextall. So I don't think it's fair to those goalies. I think you only go by the performance level. And I think those guys were underrated in retrospect. And the other name that I put out there was Steve Mason, because I think Mason had some good years. If you look at the Flyers' home record during Mason's career and Mason's numbers, Mason was actually an elite goaltender at home, kind of an average goalie on the road, but his home numbers were up near the top. He was up with the Flurries of the league. You know, the Carey Prices, he actually had really, really good numbers. The Flyers would have 53-point seasons at home, but they were so bad on the road, they were either a bubble or a non-playoff team. And also that, to me, the only reason the Flyers won seven games with the Rangers in 2014 was Mason. So, Mason, a lot of people may not remember his tenure very fondly. I thought Mason was a good goalie when he was here.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this is over his entire career in the NHL, including his Columbus days and after the Flyers as well. A 960 home save percentage in his career versus a 905 on the road. That's pretty pronounced for sure. A lot of his best goaltending, his best save percentage months as a pro were in February, March, and April. And it's an important time as well for Steve Mason. Let's get to the coach and we'll wrap this up, Bill. You know, another one that I really struggled to come up with, you know, I looked at guys like Roger Nielsen, who I thought was a really important coach here for the Flyers, exactly what they needed at that time. But ultimately, I'll go first here. I settled on a guy named Pat Quinn. He's got the third highest points winning percentage of any Flyers head coach in the team's history, only behind Shiro and Keenan at .630. It was here from 79 to 82. And to me, 141 wins, 73 losses, and 48 ties in his tenure, 330 points. But I thought he was a damn good coach, became a good executive as well, and I thought he was an important coach at an important time.
Oh, no doubt. And we talked earlier about the 35-game unbeaten streak. Of course, Quinn was behind the bench that year. Yeah. Flyers thought, you know, still had some of the Broad Street Bully Zeros guys, but they really – you look at that roster, you don't know how that team had a 35-game unbeaten streak. You look at, you know, Norm Barnes and Mike Busniak and Frank Bave. I mean, you know, decent NHL players, but certainly not stars, not guys you'd associate as being regulars on a team that goes 35 without a loss and comes as close to the Cup as the Flyers game. Quinn was a very good NHL coach for a very long time. Flyers, the Vancouver, where he's legendary, with Toronto too. I think Quinn is a very good choice, and he was the other name that I considered for mine. I decided on Terry Murray, and Murray came in. The Flyers had missed the playoffs five straight years. First year with the team. They get to game six of the Eastern Conference Finals. They win the division. The next year, they had the best record in the Eastern Conference in the regular season. Get to the second round. The year after that, they're a top team again in the regular season. They get to the Stanley Cup Finals. Now, we all know that the Stanley Cup Finals ended in a sweep, and that ended Murph's career as Flyers head coach. But if you go on, and you can find it, you can find it on Wikipedia if you want. Look up highest playoff winning percentage by games, not by series, but by games, as among Flyers head coaches. You would think that Fred Shiro would be number one or Keenan. It's actually Terry Murray. So Murph was a finalist for the Adams Trophy his first year. The team desperately, desperately needed defensive structure. He provided that. And it's funny. A lot of players who at the time said, well, Murph's not a good communicator, you know, this, that, and the other thing, look back now and they say, you know what? He was the best teaching coach I ever had. and one of, if not the best coach I ever played for. Eric Lindros says that. Eric Lindros said, I never learned more about hockey than I learned from Terry Murray. And they didn't always get along as player and coach, but in hindsight, he said he learned a lot. Michael Renberg has said that Murph was the best coach he ever played for. So those years that Murray was with the Flyers, you know, none of them ended in the cup, but they became a contender again after a lot of dry years with Murray behind the bench. And he deserves, I think, a fair share of credit for it, but yet he's never mentioned among the Flyers' best coaches. So I went with Terry Murray.
That's a great choice. And both of those guys had a really difficult task at hand. Managing as a coach, you know, a generational player is very difficult to do. And, you know, for a guy like Pat Quinn, managing the era between the cup teams to the next teams is a very difficult transition as well. And those things have to be handled with every consideration known. And both those guys did it very well. Great choices. Great stuff, Bill. Great conversation with the Flyers underrated team. We'll be back Friday. It'll be another brand new Flyers Daily.